Lisa and Scott deconstruct the news on this episode of The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They are the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
I have never met with Russians.
Our elected representatives can abuse subordinates and then secretly use a slush fund of our money to pay them off.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
Welcome back to The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. This is Scott Cosenza, and joining me today is LibertyNation.com editor-in-chief, Lisa K. Donner. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Scott. I believe this is my first time co-hosting with you.
Oh, we're calling you a co-host? I thought you were a guest on the podcast. Okay. All right, no, this is good. We'll make you a co-host for today. We're going to do a little bit different thing today. We'll do a sort of a rundown, news digest, and deconstruction of some stories that were interesting stories this week. And let's start, Lisa, with your piece that was published called Wynton Marsalis Rap Worse Than Robert E. Lee Statues. Why don't you give us a sketch as to what Wynton Marsalis was up to?
Well, as people who know me know that I grew up very much in the jazz community in Pittsburgh in the 1970s, and I am a big jazz fan, so I was interested to hear Marsalis on a podcast called Cape Up this week. And essentially, he just showed that he was the grown-up in the room. The liberal podcaster kept on goading him and baiting him to say that Trump was a racist and that all our racial problems have to do with Starbucks and Waffle House. And Marsalis stood up to him and said, hey, that's not my vibe.
Let's give a quick listen to Wynton Marsalis on Jonathan Capehart's podcast.
I started saying in 1985, I don't think we should have music talking about niggas and bitches and hoes. It had no impact. I've said it. I've repeated it. I still repeat it. To me, that's more damaging than a statue of Robert E. Lee.
Well, there you go. And it is more damaging than Robert E. Lee statues, right? I mean, Robert E. Lee was a slaveholder, and that's intolerable to so many Americans, black and white and others. But he's not about culture rot, I think. And
I think Marsalis showed that he is the grown-up in the room. He obviously is an American that is not a racist. Mm-hmm. He showed himself to, you know, he said, white kids walk into my class and I treat them the same as the black kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
he actually said that he has a duty to treat them the same as the black kids. Yeah, he is not bought into this. He's not a tribalist. He sees himself as an American and a guy who happens to be black and treats people who are white as people who happen to be white.
Which is why I think he's going to be the left's new whipping boy.
It's not going to be a good 2018, I think, going forward for Mr. Marsalis if the past is our guide.
Yeah, it's too bad because jazz at Lincoln Center and everything he touches is really high quality.
Yeah. Well, they just don't like it when they – you can't disagree on certain things. And if you have an incorrect opinion, you know – that's it. And the other thing too is there is, I think, a difference between the music and a culture associated with it. I like and enjoy rap and hip hop music, but the culture, the rap and hip hop culture, that I think is a different animal and can be destructive.
He also said towards the end of the interview, and I put it in the piece, something to the effect of, I'm all about letting people have their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in freedom.
Yeah, well, no place for that.
On the left.
Yeah, sadly.
Well, amen and amen. I mean, he took a page right out of the conservative playbook, and our readers responded to it, and I thought it was really worth writing about.
Agreed. Okay, let's move along And let's talk about former National Intelligence, Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who is, I guess, selling his book trying to generate. Well, you tell us. What is Mr. Clapper up to this week?
Yeah, I think he's drumming up income for himself. But the problem with Clapper is he has so little credibility left. And now he's heaping less credibility on top of what he's already done. So, you know, he goes on CNN and he says the following.
All right. Let's hear James Clapper on CNN.
Well, the point here is...
Well, let me get to my question.
Are the Russians not spying on the...
Wait a second. I'm stopping it. This is The View, I think, not CNN, right? Or the...
No, that's right. I said, actually, when I gave you the clip, it was ABC News.
Okay.
But it isn't. That is Joy Behar.
Right, yeah.
In case you have missed it, who, as we all know, has the hots for Bernie Sanders.
Well, my body produces an immediate convulsive negative reaction when I hear her voice. So that's why I knew it wasn't CNN.
Yeah,
all right, back
so
to the clip.
That's
from The View.
The lovely Joy.
Spying on the campaign, but what are the Russians doing? And in a sense, right. Unfortunately, what they were trying to do is protect our political system and protect the campaign.
Great protection there from the deep state actors.
I want to know why they weren't protecting Hillary Clinton then.
Right, right. Yeah, they're just... I think that it is just laughable. I mean, literally laughable. The idea that... So for people who maybe really understand that argument, James Clapper is saying that they were treating, they being FBI and intelligence agents who put people, kind of baited people in his campaign to then create incriminating movements that could then be used to substantiate FISA warrants and secret proceedings against Donald Trump associates were protecting Donald Trump as if he were a victim of a crime. Now, it's laughable because this is being used to hang Donald Trump. It has hobbled his administration and given cause and rise to this idea that there was this collusion. It doesn't pass the laugh test with somebody who is a liar again and again. The man is, James Clapper is very comfortable lying in service to his secrets and his secret and the gathering of intelligence that he wants that is not authorized by Congress or in violation of U.S. law. He lied like a rug right to their faces about intelligence collection.
Well, if this were true, wouldn't they have notified candidate Trump at the time? Wouldn't they have said, hey, this is what we're up to? And now the left is screaming, oh, it's not Spygate, it's an informant. All right, an FBI informant. I mean,
well,
they planted this person.
Yeah, it's not an informant if they planted them. That's the thing. So one thing the police can't do, for instance, is let's say if I was a police officer and I wanted to investigate you for a crime and I wanted to search your purse to investigate that crime. I couldn't say to your son, hey, would you do me a big, big favor, please? And I'll give you a candy bar. Would you go and look through your mom's purse and tell me if there's anything in there, the receipts
right.
of whatever?
Right.
Because he's now an agent of the police, okay? You can't, just mm-hmm. because they don't have, they're maybe not sworn or don't have a badge, mm-hmm. there's still that, so... This idea that it's an informant to me doesn't pass that analysis either. It's just James Clapper justifying, again, actions that benefit intelligence agencies and intelligence gatherers at the expense of the rest of us.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a bald-faced liar or if he's just trying to cover his derriere for what he did when he was in a position of power. And that goes to my question, and I asked this on our LNTV roundtable earlier this weekend, and I'd really like somebody to think about answering it, and that is, when are we going to say exactly what Tennessee Senator Baker said in 1973 in the Watergate hearings, and that is, what did the president know, and when did he know it?
Yep.
And I'm not talking about Trump.
Right, no, Barack Hussein Obama. Well, I will just add one other thing for the possibilities for Mr. Clapper, which is don't estimate any human being's capacity for self-delusion. So that might be another item.
That could be it.
All right, speaking of the deluded, let's go to Roger Goodell and the NFL anthem story. What happened this week for those who've been living under a rock and haven't read that?
All right, well, Goodell famously got behind the kneeling early on, right? And now he's kind of backpedaling. I can't imagine why. Why do you think that is, Scott?
Let's play Roger Goodell from his press conference this week announcing the NFL will ban the kneeling for the national anthem.
To all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on. So
do you think, Lisa, that this is the Trump effect at the National Football League?
I've got to say, this whole story is a beautiful thing. I mean, this really goes to show that the power of, I guess, economics, the power of the people, the power of the presidency, and the—I don't know. I want to say the abject. It's not immorality, but the way these people have moved forward, I just think has been disrespectful, and the American public called them on it.
For me, the issue, I think, more than respect or patriotism is the politicization of everything. The idea that every single thing has to be left, right, Republican, or Democrat. There was a story today or this week about Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama getting a Netflix development deal. Now, these are people who have, you know, less video production experience than my dog, and they're given, you know, I'm sure fantastically numbers of millions of dollars. Well, why would Netflix do that? They're politicizing their platform now, because we know that Barack Obama is a polarizing figure. He's not some sort of guy that everybody gets behind, right? He we're the deplorables. Now, he didn't say it, but I'll take liberties and think he agreed with it.
And don't forget, irredeemable.
Right. And the same thing with the NFL. It's like, you know, now I have to, instead of just enjoying my overpriced beverages and hot dogs and enjoying a football game, hopefully enjoying it if the Eagles are continuing their great winning streak.
Oh, Philadelphia man at the helm. Just for the record, I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Well,
so
listen, that's your...
We'll talk Super Bowls later.
I wouldn't go announcing that in the football context.
We'll talk Super Bowls later, my dear.
But, you know, just this idea that you have to be confronted at everything by this ideology. And this is coming from somebody who, you know, I make my living talking about these issues. But when I'm at a football game, do we have to go on about it? Does every dinner have to be a conversation about, you know, left versus right and social justice? Well, that is, I guess, the social justice warrior's goal, right?
Well, then the NFL is doing this whole business with social justice money. Right.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, that's part of the plan too. But I do think this ended well, as our president would say, it's a beautiful thing.
I would, by the way, just posit that we could have sporting events without the national anthem. That would be another option too. This idea of struggling what to do with it when we go to concerts that we're not. You know, those aren't preceded by the national anthem. If you go to the movies, we don't sing the national anthem there, right?
Right. So. But once there is a national anthem in place, then I think we should,
respectful. I think the crazy thing is they have this product, this football game product that they're selling, and they are allowing, like Starbucks doesn't allow their local managers to decide who gets to go into the bathroom and who doesn't, right? They have a nationwide policy about it. And it just seems crazy that the NFL would just allow willy-nilly the players to, you know, to sort of do whatever they want.
Yeah, after all, it is a private business.
Yes, it is. No First Amendment implications there. All right, let's talk about, there's a story this week, and I actually just found out about it last night, which I think is odd for me because it's right up my alley and sort of the channels I'm tuned into, and it's this right to try legislation.
Oh, yeah.
This is the legislation that lets basically terminally ill people who've exhausted their kind of options with traditional medicine to be legally permitted to get drugs from a drug company that haven't passed through the onerous FDA approval process.
Right, instead of going to Liechtenstein.
Yeah, exactly, or, you know, right. I mean, or just sitting there and dying without trying everything that's available.
Yeah, if you've got the money to go to Stade.
Right. And, it doesn't matter.
You know, and get the latest.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine why, you know, the pushback on this seems to be coming from some healthcare type people, and why they're organized against it, I don't understand. But the law was sort of put forth by the and pushed by the Goldwater Institute, which is a libertarian think tank in Arizona. Anyway, I just think it's a great development for people who are at the end of their, you know, their rope with their treatment, and why some Americans would say to those people, no, it's not permissible for you to try this other medication.
Right. Well, up until now, unless you're in a special protocol at the National Institute of Health, you're pretty much out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these people like the Hollywood actor.
Mel Gibson.
Yes, Mel Gibson. Taking his father.
Yeah, to Panama.
Yeah.
I think he may even partially own that clinic. Yeah. He can't get that treatment in the United States of America.
Right, which is appalling, which goes to, Trump brought this up. He said, we need to do something about it. And they've done something about it. And I think that is great for the American people, and especially those people who are on their last leg.
We need more and more freedom in healthcare choices, not less. And There's no prohibition on having fraud laws in place. So it's not like you can go out there and say, take these stem cells and they're going to fix everything that's wrong with you if it's not true. You can still sue somebody for that if they just haven't gone through the FDA approval process. I think that we should just require basically a big label that says not FDA approved, use at your own risk. And then people are free to choose that and not. And there certainly will be people that get taken advantage of by hucksters. But that's better than the alternative, which is to prohibit sick people from getting access to healthcare that may help them.
Well, you just said what I was thinking, which is at our condo in Florida, they have a big sign at the swimming pool. And it says, swim at your own risk. Now, we don't have lifeguards there. That's what people do. They swim at their own risk. So this is a very similar thing. This is saying, you know, take this at your own risk. And frankly, if you have nothing to lose, what's the downside here?
Phase two of Del Boca Vista leading the way with risk assessment for Lisa K. Donner. This is Scott Cosenza. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Uprising. Be the first to know the facts behind every breaking news story. Just download the all-new LibertyNation.com news and commentary app from the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Once you get the LibertyNation.com app, you will finally have the truth at your fingertips.